Right now, we're looking at the society pages. You know, you flip through the Sunday papers. I know with the City Press, for instance, they usually have it on the back page or of that first section where they give you a sense of what's been hot about town. And also on page three, is synonymous with the lighter kind of stories. And if you wanted a scoop on the rich and famous, all you had to do was go to the society pages of a newspaper. And now we have publications dedicated solely to this, but it has been maintained in its traditional sense in some publications in contemporary times, because this came about in the late 1800s and many years ago. The society pages were popularized in American newspapers, and they would report on socialites, rich people, government officials, and the news would range from the most mundane to the most extravagant details. And we've had a great culture of this in South Africa when you think of the likes of Gwen Gill. She sadly passed away a number of years ago. I think she was 75 at the time. And she had been writing about the social scene through that latter part of her career for the Sunday Times, after having occupied a number of different roles within the publication. So she would write the social column, and she infused it with a lot of wit. It became the must-read, a must-read section of the newspapers. You'd hear about social butterflies. There would be a touch of gossip as well. She'd talk about everything from food to fashion. Well, now that role is being carried forward by Craig Jacobs. And we're talking to him now. Craig is a fashion entrepreneur and journalist. He's best known for his fashion label Funduzi, which is renowned for incorporating environmentally friendly materials, things like bamboo, organic cottons, corn, soy. He's been very innovative over the years in the kind of products he's created through his fashion range. But as far as his journalistic career goes, he's been this a columnist with the Sunday Times as well, writing the society pages. And he joins us now on the line. I bumped into him at the Global Citizen Gala dinner, which was on the Saturday night. And the concert was on the Sunday, of course, Sunday right through the day. So we bumped into each other. You know, you do the whole red carpet and the photographers there and so on. And you think, oh my goodness, is this going to make the cut? Is it going to get some kind of praise, or is it going to get dissed? As you know, the City Press does the hits and the misses. The Sunday Times has its own different version of reporting on these different events through Craig's column. Good afternoon, Craig.
Hello, Azania. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. So I know you're kind of stuck in that traffic. I know there's a car on fire in Illovo. So that's where we find you today.
Okay, that's exactly where I am.
yes, there's a car on fire just in front of St. David's. But maybe let me give a quick update to that. Someone's been sharing great images of this car that is on fire, and it looks like the fire brigade is there. They've put out the fire, and they'll be clearing traffic very, very soon. But, Craig, let's talk about this fantastic job that you have, because you've written for different publications, for Y Mag, for Design and Daba, for L South Africa, and now here you are at the Sunday Times. How did you end up doing the society page for the Sunday Times?
Okay, well, the funny thing is about the column, or my history with the Sunday Times, is I actually started out as a council reporter. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'd come back to South Africa because I went to school in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And my news editor at the time, her name was Gillian Anstey, she said, you know what, for you to get to know who's in town, I think you should follow Gwen Gill and Joseph Farley around.
Mm-hmm.
And I would write down the names of people that we took photographs of. So I kind of got into the mix, but I was writing on council reporting, and then I left journalism. And then Gwen actually asked me, she said, do you want to do the column with me?
Mm.
And that was before it ended, I think it ended 2009. So I did it for about 3 years with her.
Mm.
She took me under her wing, as it were. So that's kind of how I got a bit of a taste of it. And then just before Gwen passed away in 2010, they decided to cancel the column then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went back to concentrating on my clothing label until about 2 years ago, when the newspaper was doing a redesign, a refresh, and they asked me to come back to do the column.
Right. So she kind of crowned her successor, even though it wasn't interrupted, but she sort of crowned her successor. It must have been great also watching her work. What did you feel that you learned, the kind of culture that she managed to establish around this this particular column?
You know, I have to tell you, the one thing that Gwen always told me was, if you say something about someone, like she would say, Edith Fenter is wearing a skirt like that's best suit for a teenager, mm-hmm. but boy, does she have great legs. So she kind of always said, you need to soften the blow when you talk about people. And I think, what I took on as well is really what the social column is all about is recording South African society at that point.
Mm.
Whatever the highs and lows or whoever's relevant at the time, people want to know about them, whether it's politicians or sports people or celebrities or entertainers. And the whole idea about the column is to capture that slice of life in an entertaining way.
Yes, in an entertaining way. So let me share what you wrote, Craig. So with the regards to the Global Citizen piece, you know, you start off by giving us a brief background about this property and the night that it is, you know, because it was quite a long journey. And then later on, because I mentioned in it, as you talk about softening the blow when you talk about people, you say the event gets underway after the Lady of the Hour. Is that the right section? I'm looking for my name. I kind of got lost. Yes, it is. It is around there. Oh, there we go. You say, then it's greetings, singer Danny Kay and his wife Lisa and her folks, Billy and Michelle Gundelfinger, Nicky van der Walt and his model wife, Leanne Liebenberg, and TV and radio presenter Azania Mosaka, whose feathered dress must have put a major dent in the Oudtshoorn ostrich population.
There were a lot of ostrich feathers in that dress.
I concede that David Lally dress, from top to bottom, it was feathers. It's a pretty picture, though. Uh-huh. So I think you softened the blow with a pretty picture. But is there a rule as well around how do you feel, maybe I should say, about writing something that you would be happy to also say in person to the person in their face?
Absolutely. You know, I think that's really important. You know, I think with social media today, and especially Twitter, I mean, people have become quite unbridled in the comments they make, because they can hide behind what an egg if they really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the column, and this column is a lot different to a few other columns in different newspapers where there's a pseudonym. It's my picture there and my email address. So people will always know who wrote it. So my job has never been, I always look at it as providing people with an honest explanation or experience with things that I've experienced at an event.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the style of the narrative is what I experienced during the course of that night. It's almost like I'm telling someone over a cup of coffee, this is what I did last night.
Yes.
So the intention is not to be deprecating or nasty. It's just to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if, for instance, our starters arrive and they were cold or inedible, I would say that. Or if someone wore something that you'd kind of think, oh, hang on, that's not appropriate, I would mention that.
Yes.
But not in a way that's intended to be nasty. I always think I want to make people smile or laugh. But I want them also, the people I write about, to be willing to talk to me again.
There's also that touch of, you give us insights, as you say, whether the food is cold, the decor, the mood, the atmosphere in the room, but also little tidbits, because after this, we now know that the Mutsipes are shopping for marble in Italy.
Absolutely. So there's always got to be a little bit of a news element. You look, that maybe it's a council reporting coming through. I study journalism and I studied sociology. So I think, the beauty of the column is that it should have little vignettes of information.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, there's one of my favorite movies is Working Girl, which I don't know if you remember, with Melanie Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's trying to rise up the corporate ladder, she gets information not only by reading the business section of the newspaper, but also society column to see who is networking with who. And I always approach the column like that. I think, like, and I want to give people some information. Let them leave the column not only with a smile, but something that they think, oh, I didn't know that before.
Yes. Are people always willing to open up like that? Because that piece of information comes from the Stephen Falk, who has
yes.
worked with the Motsepe's on a number of their events and clearly does their private yes. work as well. So you have to enter the conversation, kind of let someone open up and give you tidbits that they didn't imagine they would be giving.
I think it's always supposed to be about a conversation, and I think you do kind of ask people questions and you wait to see what they're going to tell you.
Yeah.
But I always make it clear that people need to know who I am when I chat to them,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so that then it's a question of you were aware that you gave me that piece of information.
Absolutely. So, that they weren't tricked in any kind of way.
No.
The place of society pages, you know, because at the time, and there are different mm-hmm. expressions of it, as you said, you know, but historically, it was always about the activities of the wealthy, you know, telling
yeah.
us about what they're wearing, who's mingling with who, who's socializing with who, who's making entry into a particular circle. It's always had a tinge of privilege to it.
Yes,
so how do you balance that interest and make sure that, say, the working class is able to find value in it?
No, absolutely. You know what? I think that what I try to do in terms of what we try to do with the A-listers is, look, we are trying to cover the old type face names in society,
mm-hmm.
but they're across the board. So it's people that most people would know. So it could go from a Johann Rupert to a Babes Wadumo.
Yeah.
And so I think in that way we are, it's not elitist, but it's certainly prominent. So, I mean, I think that's the way I try to approach it. So, I mean, I could go to a Converse party to, I've gone to the EMAs in Europe recently
mm-hmm.
as well. So it can be a whole range of different things. And I always think about the mix as well, that you can't have like two gallery openings next to each other on the page because you might lose. We've got the biggest readership in the country, so we've got to try and ensure that everyone would be able to relate in some way to the people we write about and the events we attend.
Yes, I remember a quote when Gwen Gill passed on and people were reflecting on the career that she had and the impact that she had on writing and journalism in general. And one person said that there are Gwen Gill events and then there are events that Gwen Gill simply won't write about or attend. do you have a similar rule?
The case that, you look, I mean, we do have, in terms of space, I only attend 2 events a week. So I'm very particular about the sort of events I attend. And the guest list is very key because of the nature of the name of the column.
Mm-hmm.
So I always have to, it's not just about attending an event I get invited to. There's a lot of information and research that goes on behind the scenes in terms of identifying the correct events and ensuring that the right people are going to be there for us to be able to cover.
Sure, they go to the organizers go as far as to send you the list of people attending?
Yes, it's part of my criteria before I make a decision to attend an event. I need to know who's going to be there.
Is it worth your time?
Look, seriously, I mean, honestly, if Azania Masaka was at 3 events in a row,
yeah,
I couldn't write about Azania Masaka for 3 events. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
People would say, why? So I need to kind of make sure that the right people are going to be there. And it's a different lot of people, people of interest, topical people as well. I think that's all really important because ultimately we need to ensure that people find it a good read.
So what's your policy on gossip? Because you get to overhear a lot of personal conversations. You get to see a lot of things that might not make it into our social pages.
Look, I mean, the thing about, I mean, I always say, I mean, if it's factual and it's true, then I will write it. If it's speculation, or if it's crossing in some form of like a line when it comes to integrity or morality, I'm going to avoid it. So, I mean, I won't write about someone who looks like they have an affair necessarily, because that might be too salacious. But I mean, I will maybe drop a hint about something like that.
A hint, a suggestion, a nudge, nudge. Are there holy cows? Are there things that you dare not do or go to?
Ooh, holy cows.
Yes.
I have to think about that.
Okay, maybe it'll come to you in the course of the conversation. Yes. Think about that. But the advent of social media, earlier I was saying that we are our own publishers now. We drop the pictures before, at the event, in fact. We share them live in real time. So where does that leave this kind of update? You know, the event has happened, Global Citizen happened. This came out a week later. So how does this challenge the work that you do?
Look, I must be honest, when I started the column, like I said, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, it was a little bit daunting because of the awareness of the fact that social media has become such a prominent trend. So the way in which I approach the column in that context is the fact that when someone records something on social media, they're recording it from a very narrow point of view, because it's their point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So they are also telling a story, but their personal story. So they're giving you the glamorous side to the experience, per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you see someone post on social media, my job is to look at all those personalities, all those people, and record my experience, what I saw happen.
From your observation, yes.
From my observation. And I can give an example. One of the first functions I went to, which was in Cape Town, on social media, it looked like an incredibly amazing, beautiful event. But what people didn't know was that it started 2.5 hours late.
Mm-hmm.
When we walked into the venue, because there were quite a number of gate crashes, there were people who didn't have a seat.
Mm-hmm.
So that
it was a mess. It was a mess.
It was a hot mess, as I said in that column. And no one there on their social media recorded that. All they did was their beautiful dresses on a marble staircase.
Mm.
So I came in a week later and told it how it was.
Right.
And I think that's really ultimately the difference between social media and traditional media, is that you really do tell things the way they happen.
Mm-hmm.
You give a fair and honest appraisal of something, as opposed to doing a sponsored post.
Right, or self-promotion post.
Absolutely.
Right. It's very interesting, because I'm looking at some of the tidbits as well. You bumped into Bob Geldof, didn't even realize the man was in the room.
Many people didn't, hey?
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't even think I knew what Bob Geldof looked like. Just knew his name and maybe pictures from back then. Wouldn't know what he looks like today. And then the Black Panther actress, Danai Gurira, as well as Al Sharpton. I did see Al Sharpton, but clearly you have to know the who's who. You have to be very quick. What do you do when you don't know, when you're unsure? What is your technique in sorting that out?
I've got a naughty trick.
Uh-huh.
If I'm not sure who someone is, then we'll go up and take a photograph of them and then ask them to tell their name and their surname.
Okay, that's how you sort that out.
Yeah.
Well, Craig, I think it's a wonderful column, and like just next to right next to this one is Johann Rupert's Chen's feature on Power 987, and there, of course, there were people that, as you said, of prominence that you featured: former Miss South Africa Tatum Keshua, Paul Harris, Ernie Els, and Sam Heckner. So, and then Ravi Naidu as well, Sydney Mbele. So a whole host of people. You have to be one of the best connected out there.
Well, I think my job has enabled me to become that person.
Mm.
I think it's quite nice. You know, I found with the column as well, which is really, really interesting, is that a whole range of different people do read it. I do get feedback from people in business and in politics who seem to enjoy the column. So what often happens is I'll turn up at a function and someone will come up to me and say hello and tell me something.
Yes,
which I think is probably the power of the newspaper as well behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Craig, thank you for giving us insights into what hopefully will be a long-standing tradition in the publication, the Society Pages. Which is the right version? Is it the Society Pages or is it the Social Page? What do you prefer?
I prefer Social, because Society is a little bit elitist for me. I think it's about people going out around the town, socializing and being documented.
All right. And of course, you call it the A-listers. Thank you, Craig.
Well, congratulations for making it to the A-listers.
That's Craig Jacobs, a Sunday Times columnist and designer. He's behind Funduzi. So check out his columns on Sundays. I mean, sometimes you will be left with the smile. You'll get great insights and then just left field pieces of information that you never, ever, ever expected, such as the fact that Bob Geldof was in the country. There were so many people, I guess some went under the radar. And of course, he was quite instrumental in this movement, this kind of concept of concert meets charity. It was part of that trend in the 80s with Live Aid. And then a whole host of other people that might never ever get written about and the role that they play in the lives of really prominent people. That when you see them about, you might not know what they do, but it's the job of people like Craig Jacobs to piece it all together, to pull it all together for us and make sense of some of the events that happened. There are just so many events. South Africans love events. South Africans love gala dinners. I mean, there are people whose wealth has been built just around this particular industry. Gala dinners. Dineo says that we love having Craig Jacobs at our events. And Dineo, of course, is an events organizer and PR maven. Hi, Dineo. And then Puti, Wamahlologa, that's Manamela Puti on Twitter, says Zotwa and Skolobat must forget about being featured by Craig. I don't think it's going to happen. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that.